麦昆达之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2019年12月18日，我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radhacharan Prabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare HareHare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami.
今天我们继续来学习永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 中篇逍遥的第二十章主 Chaitanya,主 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sri Sanatana Goswami.
So we will begin the lecture today by answering the questions that you sent last week.
那首先呢，我们就把上一周所遗留下来的一些问题给大家回答一下。好，抱歉哈，我现在需要把那个上周的这个问题再拿出来。Okay, the first question sent from Hari Vamsa. Hari Vamsa 询问的。
There was a short question before that.
Yeah, Hari Vamsa, that's the question. Oh, okay. 第一个问题是来自于敬拜，奉献20383949990，有了 Krishna 知觉，还会做不道德的事吗 ？Will anyone do immoral things even he has Krishna consciousness?
Is anyone do what?
Immoral things.
Oh. Well, because even a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness is still.On the condition platform, that it is expected that mistakes will be made.
就是因为即便是一个在修习的奉献者，在修习 Krishna 知觉的奉献者，他还是处在一个受局限的一个状态，所以说呢，他还是有可能犯错误的。
Only a pure devotee doesn't make mistakes.
只有纯粹的奉献者才不会有任何的错误。
So whether it is a big mistake or a small mistake, as long as we never give up the process of devotional service, then Krishna will always protect us. But we should not take it for granted.
就是说，如果一个人犯错误，不管是错误的这个大小，只要是我们不放弃奉献服务的这个修习的程序的话 ，Krishna 总是会保护我们的。但是你也不要想当然。
If we do something immoral as a practicing devotee and we think that Krishna will forgive us each time, then that is offensive.
那如果说你是一个在修习 Krishna 知觉的奉献者，但是每次犯错的时候，或者说做一些不道德的事情的时候，都想 Krishna 是能够保护我们的，保护你的，那这样子的话就是一种冒犯了。
If a devotee does something immoral,They should be very repentant, and they should pray to Krishna to be quickly reestablished and continue with devotional service.
那如果说一个奉献者他做了一些不道德的这个事情的话，他首先应当会懊悔，他应当去忏悔，然后呢，希望向 Krishna 祈祷， 希望那个 Krishna 能够帮助自己重新恢复到正确的这个位置，能够消除这个错误。
If we take advantage of the process, if we take advantage of the mercy of Krishna, that is not Krishna consciousness.
如果说你是在利用Krishna 知觉的分爱的这个程序，在利用着 Krishna 的这个仁慈的话，那就是一种冒犯的心态，那不是 Krishna 知觉。
Next question.
下一个问题来自于 Harivansa， 刚刚的例子和现实生活很相似。很相似，匆忙焦虑去追求生活的基本需要，却没有时间，怎么可能专注聆听和念诵？现实中我们追求所谓的基本需求，买房和养育孩子要付出多么多的时间呀，怎么平衡呢？The small example you just quoted is very similar in for our life in reality. We have always been in anxiety.To seek the basic needs in life, yet we don't have much time in being focused on the chanting and the hearing. In our reality, we have to find a lot of things for our basic needs, for example, to buy an apartment or to give education or foster our children.Which takes a lot of time from our life. So how to balance these two aspects?
This is the reality of household life.
这是居士生活的一种现实的状况吧。
And we read all throughout the scriptures what it actually means to be married in Krishna consciousness.
那我们在经典里面已经在很多地方都看到了 Krishna 知觉中的婚姻生活意味着什么。
And what are the obstacles that we face in the Grihastha Ashram?
那在这个 Grihastha Ashram, 就是说在我们的居士的这个生活阶段可能会遇到什么样的障碍和困难，这些经典中也是有所描述的。
But compared to a household of materialistsDevotees are much, much, much better situated.
但是，比之于那些完全在世俗的生活状态当中的那些非奉献者来说，那这个奉献者的这些居士的状况要好得多了。
And therefore, a devotee should expect that when they get married, their opportunities for, being engaged constantly in Krishna consciousness is going to be reduced because of the responsibilities.
那么就是奉献者在结婚的时候就要有这样的一个思想的准备，因为成为居士之后有很多家庭的这些事务和责任就会占据很多的这个时间，所以之前的那种比较投入的这个奉献服务的一些内容可能就会受到一些影响，也就是说你的这个奉献服务的这个时间呢就会被缩短。
So there are two things that can be very helpful in balancing both spiritual life and household life.
那么这个灵性的生活和居士的生活怎么样做到一种平衡呢？有两个方面可以去考虑的，很重要。
One is that we have to focus on quality and not quantity.
第一个就是我们要把我们的重点放在质量上，而不是数量上。
We shouldn't think that because someone has more free time, they can read Prabhupada's books for many hours that they would actually understand anything.
那你千万也不要。想当然的以为一个人他有很多闲下的这个时间，他能够拿这些时间都来读释迦帕帕的书，那么他的这种理解力、这种觉悟的能力就要强得多。
Even if we have only 20 minutes or 50 minutes to read, whatever we read, because it's transcendental literature, it can have a very powerful impact on our Krishna consciousness if we focus on what we read.
那即便是我们每天可能只有15分钟到20分钟的这个阅读的这个时间，但是只要是我们全神贯注的去阅读的话，那么因为所读的这些内容都是超然的文献、超然的这个知识，那么所有的这些学习到的、阅读到的东西就会对我们的这个生活、对我们的奉爱服务产生巨大的积极的影响。
Even if we read only one verse a day, if we meditate on that verse, it's as if not more powerful than reading an entire book.
那就是说，如果说你这一天只有足够的时间来读一个诗节，但是呢，当你读之后，你能够深入的去冥想、去深思其中的这种深意的话，那么可能它的这个效果比你读一整本书都要好。
Same thing with chanting.
念诵也是同样的道理。
There are devotees who have a lot of free time, and then they chant their rounds, and the rest of the day they have nothing to do.
Can you repeat, please?
There are devotees who have a lot of free time.
有一些奉献者的时间非常的多，很多的这个闲暇时间。
And they chant their 16 rounds, and the rest of the day they don't know what to do.
那么他呢？因为时间比较多，他能够把这个16圈都念完，但是这个16圈念完了之后，剩下的时间就不知道该干什么了。
Or they waste time.
有可能还把时间给浪费了。
Whereas if you concentrate on your japa in the morning, or even if you divide your rounds by chanting morning, chanting a bit at noon, chanting a bit in the evening, and you concentrate on those rounds, then you will actually realize that the work that you do as a householder, that is service to Krishna.
那如果说你能够在早上把这个十六圈念完，或者说你做不到呢，你可以把这个16圈分成不同的时段，早上、中午和晚上。那如果你能够非常认真的这样去做的话，你就会觉悟到，其实你作为居士所做的这个一切，其实那些履行责任这些部分，其实也是对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
Because a devotee understands that everything belongs to Krishna.
因为一个奉献者，他能够理解到所有的一切都是属于 Krishna 的。
So if we work to make money to buy an apartment, that apartment belongs to Krishna. So making the money is a service.
那如果说你非常努力的工作，挣到钱，然后买到一个房子，但是你又知道这个房子是属于 Krishna， 不是属于你自己的。那么你这样的一种挣钱买房就是奉献服务了。
If we raise children, we raise them so they can be Krishna conscious. That is a service.
那如果说呢，你养育自己的孩子，培养他的 Krishna 知觉，那也是一种奉献服务。
And that service is an expansion of our japa. It's when we beg Krishna to engage us.
那么这个服务呢，其实也是你的加帕，你在念珠上念声念诵的一种延伸。因为呢，你其实在念诵的时候，你也是在祈求 Krishna 能够让你去从事服务。
So we have to focus on quality, not quantity.
所以说呢，质量才是我们的一个关注的重点，而不是数量。
This way, we don't feel frustrated, or we don't feel that we are missing out on things.
这样的话呢，我们就不会觉得非常的沮丧不安，或者说觉得自己错过了什么。
对。
OK， 下一个问题 ，Sumuki Radha Dasi， 顶拜帕布和玛塔吉。感恩你们从遥远的圣地传回的甘露，从 Sanatan Goswami 的事迹中，我们得到了极大的鼓舞。请问您，作为居士，我们照顾好家人、孩子，遵循孤独的训示，努力在自己的能力范围内传播 Krishna 的知觉，是否也可以达到纯粹的奉爱 Krishna Prema 呢？Thank you very much for your wonderful class.We are very grateful for the nectar you sent back from the Holy Dham. we have been quite inspired by the story of Sanatana Goswami. My question is, as a Grihastha, if we take our families and children nicely, while following the Guru's instructions and try to spread the Krishna consciousness within our capacity, if we can do all this, can we also attain pure bhakti or Krishna prema?
Ultimately, when a devotee begins practicing Krishna consciousness, they will reach to the level of pure bhakti.
那从终极而言，只要一个奉献者是开始了这个 Krishna 知觉的奉爱瑜伽的这个修习的话，那么最终他一定是可以达到这个纯粹的 Bhakti Krishna Prema 的境界的。
It's only a question of time.
其实只是一个时间的问题而已。
And how long it's going to take, it's not up to Krishna, it's up to us.
那究竟最终是要多长的这个时间呢？可能得取决于我们自己，而不是 Krishna。
So we have to go through every single step of the process of devotional service.
所以说呢，我们的就是整个的 Krishna 知觉奉爱服务的这个程序当中的每一个环节都不能忽略，就是要一步一步的去走。
So we can rise.Above the modes of material nature, and then ultimately be situated in pure goodness.
那么这样呢，我们就可以超越于这个物质自然形态对我们的这个影响。那最终来说，就可以稳处在善良形态之中。
And in this way, we can intensify our sadhana bhakti, and we can intensify our hearing and chanting.
那么我们的这个 sadhana bhakti， 我们的这个规范的这个修习啊，那它的这个质量就会越来越提高，我们这种专注度就会越来越强烈，然后我们的这个聆听和唱诵呢，也都是非常集中的，就会加强，得到加强。那当我们的这个内心随着这个程序不断的得到净化的话，那我们最终呢就会达到这个纯粹的唱诵的阶段。
And pure chanting means that there is not a single piece of material attachment left in the heart, not a single one.
那么纯粹的念诵就是意味着你的心里已经不再残留有哪怕一丝一毫的物质依附。
But it also means that we never give up our duty.
但是与此同时也意味着我们不放弃自己的职责。
Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. A devotee should never give up performance of duty.
那 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》里面呢，也一再的这个强调，一个奉献者是不能放弃自己的职责的。
Even on the pure platform of bhakti, we should never give up our duty.
那即便是我们已经达到了纯粹的奉爱的这个境界，作为个人而言，责任也是不能放弃的。Okay, that's all. Oh, sorry, there's another one.还有一个问题，奉献者一定要一无所有才能彻底臣服 Krishna， 这是一个必经过程还是持续一生的状态呢？从内心和外在都保持这样的一无所有的姿势，如何把 Krishna 知觉的美好的一面展现给世人呢？又如何理解现今毫无所缺而食物又极其讲究的纯粹奉献者所处的状态呢？居士也有很富裕但是很纯粹在服务的代表，不是吗？ Does the devotee have to have nothing in order to completely surrender unto Krishna?Is this process must, or it is a lifetime process? It's a gradual process.
I didn't catch the first sentence. Is the devotee what?
Because this sentence is very interesting. I don't know, it's a question or it's a comment. She started with, does that mean that the devotees have nothing left, meaning that he doesn't possess anything like Sanatana Goswami, in order to surrender onto Krishna completely? Is it a process that's necessary, indispensable, or it's a state which will last for a lifetime, meaning a lifetime process? It's a gradual process.
No. We have to understand that every single one of us in a very specific situation.
先把第一个问题回答一下哈，就是奉献者是要一无所有才能彻底臣服Krishna， 这是一个必经过程还是持续一生的状态呢？那个Radha Chandra Prabhu 的回答是，每个奉献者每一个人所处的状况都是不一样的，这个因人而异。
Not everyone is in the position to give everything up。
不是每一个人呢都是适合，或者说他是处在那个可以把一切都完全放弃的那个位置的。
But what does that mean to give everything up?
那放弃一切又意味着什么呢？
I explained very clearly in the situation of Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took everything away from him, materially speaking.
那就是我前面在课里面解释说，就是从这个物质的这个角度而言的话，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是把 Sanatana Goswami 的一切都拿走了。
So because he needed Sanatana Goswami to become an instrument.
因为在这里他其实是想把 Sanatana Goswami 作为一个非常好的工具或者说媒介。
If you look at the example of Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya did not do that with him.
那如果我们看一下 Rupa Goswami 的话 ，Sanatana Goswami， 那个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu， 他的那个方式就不一样了。
Now, another example is Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was not asked to give everything up. He was a householder, and yet he was on the highest platform of Krishna consciousness.
那我们可以举另外一个人的例子，那就是 Ramananda Roy， 他是一位居士，他既然是居士的话，他也不能说所有的一切都完全的放弃，但是呢，虽然他是一个居士，但是他却达到了 Krishna 知觉的最高的境界。
Now another example is King Kataparudra.
然后还有一个例子就是 Kataparudra 的这个例子。
When he wanted so badly to be with Lord Chaitanya, and he managed to succeed to blind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees told him, "You cannot go and see him dressed as a king."
那他是身为这个国王，那他一心渴望着去亲自的见到这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu， 那他身边的这个奉献者就对他说，你不能这样一身这个君王的这个打扮去见。Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
They told him, "You have to go dressed as a beggar."
就说你必须要脱下你的王袍，然后得穿打扮的像一个乞丐一样，这样才适合去见 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
But after he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went back to his palace. He was still dressed as a king because he's a king.
那他就这样一身乞丐的打扮去见了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu， 但是见完面之后他还是得回到他的王宫，他还得穿上他的王袍，就完全得像一个国王那样。
So giving everything up means to give a false ego.
其实
on our material identity, that's what we give up.
那其实所谓的放弃一切指的是完全的去除我们的假我，放弃我们的一种物质的身份认同，这个才叫做弃绝所有。
But externally, each of us is in a different situation.
那从外在而言的话，其实我们每一个人的生活境况都是不一样的。
One devotee may live in the palace and be very Krishna conscious, and one devotee may sleep on the floor and not be Krishna conscious.
可能有的人他是住在王宫里，但是他完全沉浸在 Krishna 知觉当中，而另一个人他可能是无家可归的一个街头的流浪汉那样的一种生活，但是他可能完全没有 Krishna 知觉。
So there is a verse in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna says, I favor my devotee by taking everything away from him.
啊，那么在这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的第十篇当中有一个释解，大意就是说，嗯，就是我Krishna 他亲自的说，我把奉献者的一切都拿走，以此来拯救他们。
It means I take away the material attachment from my devotee.
那换句话说呢，就是我把我的奉献者的物质衣服给带走。
But if we have the capacity to engage everything in Krishna's service with pure intention, why would Krishna take it away?
那如果说我们能够非常动机纯正的把我们拥有的一切都拿来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，如果是这样的话， Krishna 又何必要把我们的一切都拿走呢？
Maybe a devotee may be empowered and given so much material facilities for preaching, and then when Krishna decides that now I want you to be completely focused on me, then he will take everything away.
那一个奉献者呢，也许他被赋予了这个力量，他拥有很多的财富，但是他都拿来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，但是有一天 Krishna 突然决定说我要把他的所有的一切拿走，那 Krishna 可能也会把他的这一切都拿走的。
There are many many examples like this. This is what Krishna did with the Pandavas when they went to live in the forest.
其实很多的奉献者都有这样的这个遭遇，就像 Pandava 五兄弟他们被流放到这个森林里，那也是 Krishna 把他们的一切都拿走。
This is what Krishna did with Maharaj Parikshit. Took everything away.
然后呢，这个 Krishna 也是这样对待 Maharaj Parikshit, Parikshit 大君的，也是把他的一切都拿走。
And sometimes Krishna will take away, sometimes the devotee will volunteer to give everything away.
有的时候是Krishna 突然把奉献者的一切都拿走，那有的时候也是奉献者他主动的自愿的把一切都交出去。
For example, there is a story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to his Brahmana friend who was selling banana leaves.
然后呢，就比如说有一个例子， Krishna 有一个婆罗门的朋友是卖那个香蕉叶的，那 Krishna 就去见他。You're talking about Shrida?
I mean, yeah, why do you want to sell banana leaves when banana leaves are available on all the banana trees? But that was his business.
那他所生活的这个地方到处都是香蕉树、香蕉叶，那他为什么还要去卖香蕉叶做成的这个杯子呢？但是呢，这就是他当时的这个职业。
And still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bargain with him, give me a discount.
然后呢，这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，还是逗他，就跟他去那个讨价还价，让他就是减价。
He says your banana leaves are too expensive. Give me half price.
那 Krishna 他就是说呢，你的那个香蕉叶子实在是太贵了。然后你应该给我减价，减一半。
And Sridhar says, the money that I make, the little profit that I make, I give 50% for the Ganges and 50% for my family. I have nothing left.
那 Sridhar 他就是说呢，我挣的这个为数不多的那么一点钱，有一半给了恒河供奉，然后还有一半是用来养家糊口的。我实在是，什么都没有了。
Why Lord Chaitanya is doing this? Not because he wants a discount. It's because he wants to draw the love of his devotee towards him.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 为什么要就是去这样跟他讨价还价呢？并不是说真的是要让他减价，而是说希望他能够把这个他去激发他内心当中的那种愤爱之情。
So Krishna will deal with every single individual devotee in a particular way to bring them to that level of full surrender.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他会有相应的这种方法，因人而异的对待每一个人，使得这个奉献者能够达到全然臣服和皈依的那个状态。
And it may take one lifetime. It may take more than one lifetime.
那这个有可能需要一生的这个时间，也有可能要更漫长的时间，要几生几世的时间。Yeah. Sorry. The question hasn't been finished.
Oh, sorry.
这个刚才的这个问题还仅仅是其中的第一个问题哈。后面一个问题说，从内心和外在都保持这样的一无所有的知识，如何把 Krishna 知觉的美好的一面展现给世人呢？And if there is a grihastha who doesn't have anything internally and externally, how is it possible that he can present the beauty of Krishna consciousness to the world? And this is second question if you want to ask, or I can follow with another two questions after that. But it's all related.
Okay, read the other two
questions. 后面的两个问题是又如何理解现今毫无所缺而食物又极其讲究的纯粹奉献者所处的状态呢？居士也有很富裕，但是很纯粹在服务的代表，不是吗？ And how can we understand that some pure devotees have everything and extremely particular about food, how to understand the state of consciousness? And the last question is, but we also see some grihasthas who are quite wealthy, but at the same time represent the most pure devotional service, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, so this is all related to the same points that I've been making. Krishna deals according to our level of surrender and the purity in our hearts.
就是说，这是跟我刚才前面的回答的这个问题都是相关的。意思就是说 ，Krishna 他实际上是要看的是我们的那种完全皈依的这种程度，以及我们内心的纯粹的、纯净的这个程度。
And we have to be careful not to get into too many details because then we can easily become judgmental and that can turn into offenses also.
然后我们也要非常小心，就是不要去过于的注重这些细节了，因为通过这些细节的话，有可能我们不知不觉就开始去评判了，那这种不妥当的这种评判可能就会导致一些冒犯的出现。
Because we may look at someone who may not display a high level of Krishna consciousness on one side, but you may not see another side of them where they actually completely surrender.
因为你有可能只是看到了从表面上而言好像不是那么具有 Krishna 知觉的那一面，但是你可能没有看到另外一面，就是他完全的。就是完全的这个 Krishna 知觉的纯粹的那一面。
And there are again some examples that come to mind, how Krishna took away everything from Srila Prabhupada, his family, his business, his reputation, everything he took away, and then look what he gave to Prabhupada, he gave him the whole world.
那这一点又让我联想到了 Srila Prabhupada 的例子。那 Krishna 是把 Srila Prabhupada 的一切可以说都拿走了，包括他的家庭，他的这个事业，然后呢，还有他的名誉等等。但是你看一下，最后 Krishna 又回报给他了什么呢
？And another example is when Prabhupada.Started to establish Krishna consciousness in America.
还有一个例子就是 Srila Prabhupada 当初在美国建立这个 Krishna 知觉运动的时候。
And he established this beautiful temple in Los Angeles.
当时在这个洛杉矶呢建了一个非常美的庙。
And he was so proud that there was an example for the whole world to follow by establishing these beautiful deities and this big temple in Los Angeles.
因为当时在这个洛杉矶建立了这么美丽的一座神庙，又设立了在崇拜那么美的这个神像，可以说是对整个世界呢都是一个典范，一个完美的典范。
And then something happened with the devotees, and Prabhupada had to leave.
后来呢，就是奉献者中出现了一些问题，然后舍利帕帕就离开了那里。
And Prabhupada could not understand why he was telling Krishna, "Why you bring me here? I established this beautiful temple, and now you're taking me away from it."
当时舍利帕帕帕他也不明白，他问 Krishna 说，你把我带到这里，我建了这么美的这个。一个神庙，但是现在你却把它拿走了，而且让我离开，这是为什么？
So then Prabhupada went to India.
然后后来Srila Prabhupada就去了印度。
And then he found the land for the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan.
他就在 Vrindavan 找到了 Krishna Balaram 庙宇的所在的那一片土地。
And then Prabhupada realized.Yes, Krishna took me away from Los Angeles to give me something even bigger.
那就后来呢，这个Srila Prabhupada就明白了，那是 Krishna 让我离开洛杉矶，这么大的一个神庙，是目的是为了让我来到这里，给我更大的东西。
Now we have to understand that Krishna may give opulence to a devotee when he knows that this devotee will use that opulence.In Krishna's service, otherwise he would not give it.
还有一点呢，就是说 ，Krishna 他如果给一个奉献者以这样子大笔的这个财富的话，那是因为他非常的清楚这位奉献者他能够非常好的去运用这些财富，把它用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，否则的话，他是不会把这样的财富给予他的。
So you will find some devotees, very senior devotees that are given full material facilities for spreading Krishna consciousness, and then some of the devotees, they have practically no facilities.
所以你就会看到有这样的两类的奉献者，有的时候有的奉献者他可以说是具有全套的这个一流的便利设施 ，Krishna 给了他很多很多的财富，让他尽情的去传播 Krishna 知觉。而还有一些奉献者呢，他们看上去好像是一无所有似的。
And of course, it's very dangerous to utilize natural energy in Krishna's service.
要把这个物质的能量用在 Krishna 知觉的奉献服务当中，当然呢。这个呢也是非常的冒险的。
And every single day we hear about these so-called gurus who become very, very popular, and then within a short time they are being exposed for enjoying money and women. It happens all the time.
现在我们在世界上每天都会听到这样的新闻，有那么一些不可。就是一世的这些非常有名的非常受欢迎的这些大家都这个趋之若鹜的这样的一些guru们但是呢他们往往会因为金钱或者说女人的这个问题而堕落
So it's better to have less facilities and to be much more safe in Krishna's shelter
那如果说这个其实就这个条件这些便利如果少一点的话然后专心的把它用在为 Krishna 的这个奉献服务当中这样子的话呢还更安全一些还能够更好的得到这个 Krishna 的庇护
If we look at our situation in the Chinese Yatra personally I have absolutely no doubt that when devotees are readyTo spread in a substantial way, Krishna will give the facilities as long as it is not going to damage the spreading of Krishna consciousness in China.
那就中国的现在这个情况来说的话，我相信如果奉献者有这个能力，把 Krishna 所给予的一切的这个财富和设施都能够用好， 而不至于说阻碍了 Krishna 知觉在中国的这个大力的发展的话，那我想 Krishna 他是会给予我们很多很多的。
For example, we have the history of the Gaudiya Math when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to establish the very first big, big temple for doing big, big preaching. And as soon as the temple was built, the sannyasis were fighting over who is getting the best room.
那你看看我们的这个 Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这个历史上，是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 他当初也是建立了这个 Gaudiya 这个修院，第一个的时候是，非常大的一个规模的一个修院，然后也有很多很多的这个房间，很多的设施，本来是想用它来做非常大型的这个传教活动的，但是一旦是这些。修院群的落成了之后，这个庙里面就开始有了纷争，那些年长的这个奉献者的甚至开始争夺这个条件更好的房间，每个人都想争到这个最舒服的一个住的地方。
And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw that, he said, I would rather sell the marble and print books.
然后当这个是拉巴克蒂斯丹的塞尔斯瓦提见到了这个情形的时候，他就说我宁愿把这个庙里的大理石都卖了，拿这个钱来印书。
So not everybody is empowered or qualified to handle material opulence and material facilities in Krishna's service.
所以说就这些物质的财富以及物质的设施而言，并不是每一个人都有这种能力把它们用在这个很好的用在对 Krishna 的奉献服务之中的。
For example, in China, we often come across people who are very materially situated, who are prepared to give us a building or give us a restaurant or give us some land, and where are the devotees?They don't know how to do it. They can't handle it. So Krishna will not do it.
那就比如说我们现在在中国也是一样，我们经常会遇到一些人，他们在这个物质上面呢，就是说是状况是非常的完善的，所以说他们非常有财富，他们有的时候会慷慨的。想给奉献者一个餐厅，或者是一片地，或者是一个房子什么的。但是我们奉献者现在还没有做好准备，还不知道该怎么样来用，所以在这种情况下 ，Krishna 也是不会给我们的。
So in the case of Sanatan Goswami, we have to look at the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is working through him.
所以说如果我们来看一下 Sanatan Goswami 的这个例子的话，我们的这个关注的点就是Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是如何通过 Sanatan Goswami 来实现他的愿望的。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking away everything from Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami.
首先是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 把 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 拥有的一切都拿走了。然后给了他们俩这个训谕，就是让他们去 Vrindavan。
And they would sleep under the trees.
他们就经常是睡在大树下。
And they would write books.
他们会写书。
And those books would become the foundation of the entire Sankirtan movement for the whole world.
而这些书就会成为遍及全世界的 Sankirtan 运动、齐颂圣名运动的基石。
Now, if you look at what they did in terms of building temples in Vrindavan, this was unprecedented.
那如果说我们看一下他们在 Vrindavan 建立神庙的这些壮举的话，可以说也是空前的。
The temple of Sanatan Goswami, Madan Mohan, nobody had never seen anything like this before.
比如说 Sanatan Goswami, 他建的这个 Madan Mohan 的这个神庙，当时可以说是绝无先例的。
The temple of Govindadev, built by Rupa Goswami, was so big, the architecture was unprecedented, so much so that the Muslim ruler asked him to destroy destroyed three levels, so it would not be bigger than his mouth.
那当时这个 Rupa Goswami 他所新建的这个 Govinda Dev 的这个神庙也是史无前例的，这个建筑规模的这个宏伟这个雕琢的这个精细的这个程度，以及它的这个规模都是前人所无法相比的，那么以至于引起了这个穆斯林的极大的这个愤恨，他们甚至这个穆斯林的这个国王就是下令要把这个 Govinda Dev 的这个神庙的这个顶给它削下来，削下来三成，使得
everything from that materially, so they could give the world everything spiritually.
那使得这个 Govinda Dev 的这个神庙的高度不会超过穆斯林的清真寺，所以从这个例子当中，我们也可以看到，就是他们俩就是等于就是几乎是一无所有，放弃了所有的一切，那么这样子呢，他们才能够一心一意的。全身心的投入到奉献服务之中，这是一个安排。
So, it's very, very important for us to understand what is the meaning of renunciation.
所以对我们来说，弃绝二字究竟是什么含义呢？我们一定要有一个正确的认识。
That's why I mentioned last week, internal renunciation.External renunciation.
这就是为什么上周我强调了这个内在的气绝和外在的气绝的两方面。
There are yogis who literally have nothing, but in their heart they have so many material desires.
那有一些这个瑜伽士表面上看来真的是气绝的一干二净，好像一无所有，但是呢，内心当中却充满了这个物质欲望。
And others.Are very materially wealthy, but their heart is very pure.
那还有一些人，他们在这个物质上面是非常的丰厚的，但是呢，内心又是极其的纯粹的。
Ultimately, we are only instruments in the hands of Guru and Golanga.
终极而言，他们都是 Guru 和 Golanga 手中的工具。
Okay.
Yes.That's all for the questions.
Any more questions?
No.
Okay, we have only 10 minutes left.
You can do a little bit more.
Yeah, so we left last week where Sanatan Goswami was being prepared to receive the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
那上一周我们就是讲到了 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他已经准备就绪了，接下来就是要去静心的聆听 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所给予他的教导。
And here we have the perfect example of how we approach knowledge and how we approach the teacher.
那在这里我们就是看到了一个如何去接近知识，如何去接近导师的一个完美的楷模。
This is not an intellectual exercise.
这个呢，并不是一种智力上的训练。
Where there may be room for arguments, there may be room for personal opinion.
这不是说还可以去辩论辩论，然后有思辨思辨，这没有这样的余地。
Now, when we receive transcendental knowledge, that knowledge is meant to destroy the doubts within the heart.
当我们去接受超然的知识，那么超然的知识就是意味着要把我们内心中的疑虑都清除的一干二净。
And that knowledge comes directly from Krishna.
而且这样的知识是直接来自于 Krishna 的。
So, first.There is the attitude of the student, the attitude of the disciple.
首先呢，这个门徒一定要有这个正确的态度，就是这个门徒学生。
We read last week, Sanatan Goswami could destroy his mouth and he bowed down to Lord Chaitanya.
所以在上一周，我们就看到了 Sanatan Goswami 的一个举动，他口中闲吵，然后在这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 面前顶拜。
The straw within the mouth means that you have to hold the straw with your teeth, and therefore you cannot speak.
那口中的这个甘草，它有一个含义，就是说你要用牙齿去咬住这个草，那意味着就是说你现在开始就是静默不言，洗耳恭听。
For example, if you have a dog and you play with the dog and you throw a piece of wood, the dog will carry the wood within the mouth and they cannot bark.
那比如说你跟一个小狗玩的话，你扔一个树枝在它的面前，它就咬住了那个树枝，这样它就不会乱叫了。
So the straw within the mouth means I am prepared to hear.
所以说呢，口衔甘草的意思就是说，现在开始我洗耳恭听。
Now sometimes devotee can be very quiet, but it doesn't mean that they have the right attitude to hear.
那有的时候我们看到有一些奉献者是非常的沉默的，但是这并不意味着他们已经具备了聆听的一个良好的心态。
So Sanatana Goswami is now going to give the perfect example to express his attitude that he is ready to hear.
那 Sanatana Goswami 呢，就在这里，做出了一个完美的听者的一个，榜样。
And here is what he says.
那他，接下来这么说道。
Nitya Jati.Nitya Sangi Patita Adama Kuvishaya Kupipadi Gonainu Janama. I was born in a low family. That's the first thing that he says.
这个时候他开口了。第一句话他说的就是我出生低下。
And all my friends are low class people.
我所有的朋友都是低等人。
And not only I am fallen, but I am the lowest of men.
那不仅我是如此的堕落，而且呢，我也是最低等的人类。
And I have spent my whole life in a fallen condition by performing one sin after another.
这辈子呢我一直不断地在从事罪恶的活动，我罪孽深重。
That's the attitude.
这个是他的一个心态。
I was born in Beijing.
我出生在北京。
I ate meat all my life.
I what?
I ate.All my life.
我一辈子都是吃肉的。
I have wasted my life watching movies.
我这辈子都把时间浪费在看电影上了。
I have been cheating and lying to people just to save myself.
然后呢，这辈子呢，我也到处的行骗。我到处的行骗，只是为了自保。我也浪费了大量的金钱。
But now I am prepared to hear.
但是呢，我现在已经做好了聆听的准备。
So this is one Chinese example.
这个就是一个中国人的例子。
So what's very interesting is after Sanatana Goswami said this, Prabhupada said something in the third words.
那 Sanatana Goswami 就说了这样的一段话，那么 Srila Prabhupada 在要旨中是这样讲的。
So when Sanatana Goswami says, I was born in a low family, Prabhupada says, Sanatana Goswami belonged to a very, very high class Brahman family.
那这个 Sanatana Goswami 呢，自己说自己出生低下，就是说他出生在一个非常低等的家庭。但是在要旨中，须拉帕帕却说他其实是出生在一个高贵的婆罗门家族。
Sanatana Goswami was not Sanatana Rupa Jiva. They were not born in a low class. They were born in a very, very high class, very educated family.
那其实像 Rupa Goswami、Sanatana Goswami 和 Jiva Goswami， 他们都是同一个家族的。这个家族都是受过非常高等的这个教育，非常有素养的，极其高贵的一个大家族。
So just look at the level of humility.
所以你从这一点就可以看出 Sanatana Goswami 的这种极度谦卑的这个程度。
The reason why Sanatana Goswami says that is because he was affiliated and working with the Muslim government, which is made of idiots and drunkards and materialist people.
那 Sanatana Goswami 之所以这样说呢，是因为他在这之前都一直在这个穆斯林的政府当中工作，为他们效力，而这些穆斯林他们都是吃肉的，那个喝酒的，然后充满着这个物质欲望，物欲横流的这样一批人，所以他跟他们混在一起，所以他就称自己是出生地下。
Now, I don't know if it's been translated into Chinese, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote two books. One is called Gita Valley, and one is called Sharanagati.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 他写了两部书，一本书叫做 Gita Valley, 还有一本书叫做 Sharanagati. 但不知道这两本书有没有翻译成中文。
Is it in Chinese or not?
Those are small books, right? I'm not sure.
You know the blue book we have at home with that thing that's on the cover that sits on the harmonium?
Yes, yes, that's the original.
Yeah. Is it in Chinese or not?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, his book is in two parts. The first part, every single song, every poem of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is exactly in the line of Sanatana Goswami, where he says, I am the lowest of men, I have no qualification, I was born in ignorance. Same thing.
那就像是在 Sharanagati 这部书里面，就是里面有好多歌，然后 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在里面写到的每一句话的都可以说是跟 Sanatana Goswami 是不谋而合的，完全是一致的。他也讲到了他自己一无所有，他自己出生低下，他是人类中最低贱的，等等，他是多么的这个堕落。等等。
Okay, now we've mentioned something very important.
那在这现在呢，我们要讲一个要点。
When the very first time, when Rupa and Sanatan met with Lord Chaitanya in their hometown of Ramkeli.
就是说第一次，就是 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 在他们的这个家乡 Ramkeli 见到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的时候。
They did exactly the same thing. They paid their full dandavat to Lord Chaitanya, they grabbed his lotus feet, and they put a straw within their mouth.
那他们第一次的时候也跟第二次见面是一样的，他们也是向 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 五体投地的顶拜，然后口中衔着草，然后把这个煮的莲花足放在他们的前额上。
And Sanatana Goswami said something very interesting. He said,My dear Lord, we are lower than Jagai and Bhagai.
那 Sanatana Goswami 就说了一句非常有意思的话，他说，我亲爱的主啊，我们俩比 Jagai 和 Madai 还要低贱。
And Prabhupada explained the reason why they quote Jagai and Madai is because Jagai and Madai were also from the Brahman family.
那释迦爸爸就说为什么他们两个在这里提到了扎盖和马代呢？因为扎盖和马代其实也是出生在婆罗门家庭。
But they were a bad example.
但是呢，他们当然是一个反面的例子了。
But Rupa and Sanatan, they were associating with the Muslims who were meat eaters, which means slaughtering the cows.
那这个 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatana Goswami 他们和那些穆斯林在一起，那穆斯林意味着什么呢？他们都是吃肉的，而且他们也杀牛。
So they saw their position to be lower than Jagai and Madai.
所以他们就觉得他们两个其实比 Jagai 和 Madai 还要低下。
Okay, next verse.
那现在我们讲到下一个时节。
Akanara hita hita kichwe na jani Brahmya vabahare mandika sai satyamani. Now he's saying, I do not know what is beneficial for me.
接下来他说呢，萨达坦·戈斯瓦米就说，我不知道什么对我有益。
And also do not know what is not beneficial for me.
我也不知道什么对我不利。
And somehow or other, people think that I am a scholar.
他说不知怎么的，人们认为我是大学者，认为我是饱学之士。
And sometimes I even think myself that I am a learned scholar.
有的时候我也自以为是了，以为自己是个博学之士。
So, Sanatana Goswami is putting himself on the lowest platform of material life.
所以 Sanatana Goswami 呢，他是把自己视为是在这个物质生活当中最低下的那一类。
Which is the most favorable for receiving Krishna consciousness.
那实际上呢，这个是最有利于接受 Krishna 知觉的状况了。
Queen Kunti prayed to Krishna, not by beauty, not by name, not by education, not by good birth. Can we attract Krishna's mercy?
我们并不是因为自己拥有美貌、名声。良好的这个教育和良好的这个出生才能够得到这个 Krishna 的仁慈，这些并不是资格。
So then Sanatana Goswami says to Lord Chaitanya, buy some cocaine.
Okay.
Okay, so Sanatana Goswami is going to ask some questions to Lord Chaitanya.
现在呢，萨达坦·戈斯瓦米要向祖切塔尼亚·马哈帕布提一些问题。
Actually, he's only going to ask one question.
实际上呢，他最终其实只是问这么一个问题。
And on the basis of that question, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to deliver the entire process of Krishna consciousness.
那基于他的这么一个问题呢，切塔尼亚·马哈帕布就把有关于 Krishna 知觉的整部的这个知识都传授给了他。
And this will take pretty much the next four chapters.
那从这一个问题出发，接下来的这个回答可能就是要覆盖到四章的内容。
So over the next four chapters, we're going to hear a lot of philosophy.
那在接下来的这个四章当中，我们会听到很多很多的哲学。
Because they sat down together for 2 months.
因为他们一起，就是度过了2个月的时间。
And during those 2 months, every day they would meet, and every day Lord Chaitanya would speak further.
每一天，在这2个月中的每一天呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu的。这个就会向前推进一步。
So, next week, I will give you that particular verse that Sanatana Goswami asked question to Lord Chaitanya.
那下一周呢，我们就向大家揭示一下这个 Sanatana Goswami 究竟问了Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 什么样的一个问题。
So, we will stop here.
那我们今天的讲课先到这里结束。
We are sending our obeisances from Sri Vrindavan Dham.
现在呢，我在 Sri Vrindavan Dham 向大家顶拜。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.
Jai.
Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Jai.
Sri Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai.
Jai.
Kashyadesh Yatra Ki Jai.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande
Hari Hari Bo.百昆塔之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的切塔尼亚之音的讲课就到这里结束了。今天的讲课也是提前的录音，所以如果大家有什么问题的话，请发给主持人，我们下周在讲课的一开始就回答大家的这些问题。祝大家度过充满着 Krishna 知觉的一天 ，Hare Krishna， 下周同一时间再见。